happened last September. I injured my back quite severely. It was not just a little ache and went away. I mean, it was pretty severe. And through walking through my healing, because thank God healing is for us.
Yes.
And walking in more and more into my healing, I have spent time with God about receiving and building up my faith and so forth. And there's a lot of things that feed into me walking out what belongs to me. Just a couple of months ago, I wouldn't have been able to do the Men of Honor, I'll tell you that. Just driving over there for 2 hours, driving back and standing for long periods of time. But I'm telling you, it progresses better and better every day. It's just,
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what, one thing I found out is I was actually injuring it. One thing I was doing to fix it was actually injuring that. That doesn't help. How many of you know? It doesn't take God a long time. Sometimes we just got to walk in the light of...
Right.
Oh, Lord, thank you. But so anyway, I just was, walking out a lot of, walking out my own healing. How many of you know you learn things best when you just walk it out rather than just go to church and hear about it? I mean, you and I get wonderful opportunities to be doers of the word that we hear. And we shouldn't pass those up because those are our opportunities to learn. Get all the dross out of our faith, jump in the middle of the fire and let it burn out, And so, just one of the things that God kept dealing with me about, I mean over and over and over, I want to share it with you this morning. And that is because in times, certain things like what I went through, you've been through things in your own life. How many of you know we're all understanding what we're talking about here? Just take something in your life. If you're not careful, if you're not on top of your faith and so forth and on it with the Word of God, you can begin to take or accept a mentality. Excuse me. This is the new normal. And I'm telling you, those thoughts just were hounding me and hounding me, weak and infirm back. You're just going to have to really watch it, And I mean, just a little bit of pain running down your leg, just kind of the new normal. And the Lord kept, He helped me. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He kept bringing, I'd wake up in the morning sometimes and he'd start talking to me about Matthew 18 here and some other verses we're going to go to. Well, let's just read Matthew 18. We're familiar with it, but are we? I said, are we? How many of you know when you get in the middle of a trial or some sort of situation, you can find new meaning in these verses that was there all along, but you're like, whoa, yeah, that applies. I see that.
Yeah.
Matthew 18, 18 and 19. If two of us agree on earth, this is what we're talking about in verse number 19. But I want to read in verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's an amazing statement. Then again, I say unto you, that's really the authority of the believer. And then verse 19 is prayer. Verse 18 is authority. Verse 19 is prayer. Again, I say unto you, if two of you agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. So he's talking about asking of the Father in verse 19. But verse 18 is not asking of the Father. It's binding and loosing. It's the authority of the believer. So the Lord kept bringing me back to, because some other translations, rather than verse 18, rather than say bind on earth or, loose on earth, will be bound on earth or loosed in heaven. Rather than that, it would say, other translations say, whatever you forbid. Whatever you, in other words, just don't allow. Whatever you forbid or whatever you say no to.
That's right.
You and I have the authority, is what he's saying here, to say no to something. So the thoughts would be coming, this is a new normal. And then God kept rising up, the Spirit of God kept rising up in my heart and saying, if you allow that, that's the way it's going to be. Because other translations say, whatever you forbid... will be forbidden. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And then it would go on and say, other translations will say, whatever you allow on earth. Amen. Say it out loud. I can forbid or I can allow. In other words, that's the authority we have. We have the authority to forbid things or allow things. Or rather than forbid, we could say refuse. Or rather than allow, we could say permit. Whatever we refuse, you know, because the devil says it's going to be this way, and we say, no, I refuse for it to be this way.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody said, well, how do you do that? Well, we're going to get to that. But first I want to establish that we can do this. We have the authority to do this. Whatever we forbid, whatever we say no to, whatever we refuse, will on earth, we're on earth. Last I checked, we're on earth. He said, will be forbidden or refused to be allowed in heaven. In other words, heaven will back us up. In other words, heaven will allow what we allow. Now, right there answers a theological question. A lot of people have. Why did God allow this? Now, I'll say it all as kindly as I can. It's because we allowed it.
That's right.
Maybe through ignorance. You understand? You understand, if you don't know that the cat, if you're in another room and you don't know that the cat's up on the table eating the chicken. The only reason it's up there is because you're allowing it. Well, no, but you didn't know you were allowing it, but you were allowing it. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So I got challenged with this. I mean, the Lord kept dealing. I mean, if he's dealt with me about anything regarding receiving my healing, he kept dealing with me about this. Don't allow this. Don't allow this. Amen. Constant pain. No. I am not allowing. I forbid.
All right, come on now.
Well, how do you do that? I mean, you know, we'll get into the how here in a bit, because how many of you know we can just say this and it's like a slippery, greasy pig? I mean, you can't get a hold of it. I mean, okay, I see that I can, and I'm instructed to not allow.
That's right.
But how, you know? I went to Pastor Debbie and I like Colorado. We like the mountains of Colorado. And if you don't, I'm really sad for you. No, I'm kidding. Different people like different things. But we like the mountains of Colorado. And we were out there 1 year. And I don't know why, but the Acabogus were there. Was it because doctor had a meeting out there maybe or something? So we stayed over another week and the Acabogus stayed with us. And we found out that the county there where in Colorado where we were had a fair, county fair that week. We like, oh, yeah, let's go to the county fair. It was the cutest thing. We got a whole bunch of pictures of little boys sitting on the fence with cowboy hats on and stuff. It was so cute. But anyway, they had a grease pig contest. I got video and pictures. I mean, it is awesome. Little kids, you know, I don't know what the minimum age was, but they were out there, you know, they grease this pig and that pig's running around and the little kids are chasing, trying to get a hold of it. You know, a greased pig's slippery. You can't get a hold of a greased pig. I remember one little girl got a hold of him and she picked him up. I'm like, whoa, you go, girl. She won it. But anyway, that's the way these things can be sometimes. They're like a slippery pig. I mean, it's like, okay, how? I mean, there it goes, you know. So we're going to get into the how. But I want to establish, first of all, that we can. Because so many believers don't believe we can. And that's why people will say things. Good people, good Christian people, all right. But they just don't understand. They'll say, well, why did God allow this? Well, because really, God gave man authority down here on this earth. That's why Jesus kept saying, whatever you forbid on earth. On earth. Whatever you allow on earth. Why? Because this is the realm of our authority.
Yes.
Woo! Glory. Down here's where we have authority. Remember, God gave Adam originally in the garden back there in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 and so forth. He gave Adam authority over all the earth. So really, God's not running everything down here. People say, God's running everything. He's not running everything. He's not running the corruption in the government. He's not running the sin in Hollywood and people's lives. He's not running people that are murdering. And he's not running everything. There is Satan. Satan's the God of this world. How did he get to be the God of this world? I thought God gave Adam the authority over the earth. He did, but I remember Adam yielded to Satan and bowed the knee to him in sin. And Satan became the God of this world. But he's not my God. I said he's not my God. That means he doesn't have authority over me. See, redemption included buying us back from Satan's dominion and his control and ability to put things on us against redemption.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Satan was, we were delivered from Satan's power to put things on us that don't belong to us because of redemption.
Yes, sir.
Redemption didn't just deliver us from sin, it delivered us from the authority of the enemy.
Right.
Hallelujah. And that's why it says resist the devil and he will flee from you. But don't wait for a being to show up with a red pajama suit and a pitchfork to say, oh, that's the devil. The Bible calls sickness the devil. It calls bondage of every kind the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, hallelujah, we're free from all that. That's what I'm saying. We're free from all sickness, all poverty, all the curse of the law. We're redeemed from all that. Now, Christians don't necessarily sometimes ascribe to that, but that's what the Bible says in Galatians chapter number 3. Christ has redeemed us from sin. Yeah, from sin. But that's not what this verse said. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. In other words, all the penalty of breaking God's law. And Deuteronomy 28 enumerates it very clearly. As many sicknesses, all the sicknesses and diseases are mentioned there. All poverty and the curse, all those things are that we're redeemed from all those things. Well, if I'm redeemed, how's come? You know what how's come means. How's come I still see some of it? Well, whether it's you or me, so don't get mad at me for saying it. It's because we're allowing it. Maybe ignorantly. Maybe we know this to a degree, and to a degree it's not able to function, but to a degree it is. You understand?
Yes.
Whether it's you or me, I'm not preaching down at you. I've had things I looked at my life and I said, now looky there, that doesn't belong in my life. Amen. Back a number of years ago, here's an illustration of this. I don't know how many years ago this was. Quite a number of years ago. I was paying one day, I was paying one of Pastor Debbie's student loans. I don't know, the balance was like $26,000 or something like that. And I was paying it and I looked at it and I'm like, I don't know, paying $53 a month or something like that. Yeah. I don't know, just piddly little stupid amount. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
It's like, and I'm paying it, and I'm looking, and I'm, what am I doing?
Come on.
This thing's been in our life forever and ever, amen. I think, I think whenever we were still on the bottle, I think is when it came, you know.
You know it.
It's like, how long am I just going to put up with this? And I got really convicted. I don't know if you ever got convicted about something. I'm not putting that conviction on you if you've got a student loan in your pen. I'm not talking about you. This is not, I'm not saying this is what you should do. I'm talking about what happened in my life. See, as you grow in faith, God will convict you about certain things. You know, eventually as you grow in faith, you'll get convicted about just having a high credit card balance all the time. I'm not putting that conviction on you. You got to walk with God. If that's what that's where you are, then that's where you are. But I'm just saying, eventually, as your faith grows, you get convicted about certain things. So I said, and I'm doing that, and I got convicted. It was like a conviction with an indignation. Something rose up on the inside of me and asked me the question, why are you allowing this in your life? I got real convicted. I almost broke out blushing right there, embarrassed. You know, if anybody's seen me paying $53, I'm not saying that's you. That you know, you got to, wherever you are, don't take any condemnation on that. But that's just me. So I went to Pastor Debbie and I said, the Lord's dealing with me to pay this thing off. And so we got an agreement. I think within 6 months, boom, it's gone. You know, that wasn't because we paid $53 a month.
No.
No.
Not at all.
Somebody said, oh, that's a good testimony. Isn't that wonderful how God blessed Pastor Jay and Debbie? Well, I noticed God didn't do anything until we stopped allowing it. Oh, that'll hit you real hard if you really hear it with the ears of the Spirit. Like I said, don't take condemnation. I'm just simply saying wherever your level of faith is, there'll be something rise up on the inside of you. You said, it just does not have to be this way.
Amen. Amen.
Just
amen.
Wherever you are, that there's something, it's called faith. And authority, it rises up. It's something that rises up on the inside of you, and you get to the place you're like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm just done with this. Amen. How many of you know, well, God will allow what we allow?
Yes, sir.
Let's look at some verses. Before we do that, let's go to, let me see if I can find this. Let's go to, my notes say Corinthians 6:12. How would you interpret that? Let me find it. I think it's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, let's see if 1 Corinthians is it. 1 Corinthians 6:12. That's it. Excuse me while I edit. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things, this is Paul by the Spirit speaking, all things are lawful for me. The context here is eating and what we eat and so forth. The context is different things like that. If you read verse 13, you'll see he's talking about what you eat. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but here's something that I wanted to see. I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be brought under the power of any. Notice that I will not. What is that? I refuse.
Come on.
I refuse. I'm not going to allow it.
Right.
Now, this is in the area of the flesh, controlling his flesh, certain things. How many of you know if we do something fleshy, that's because we allowed ourselves, our flesh, to rule us like that? Amen. I'm not talking about you. I said we. You know, you ever said something flying off the handle? Said something angry? Oh, I just can't help it. It just comes all over me. No, you could help it. You just didn't stop yourself. You know, some guy gets mad in his house. I've used this illustration. Starts throwing furniture around, breaking stuff up and stuff like that. Because his wife's only, 5'5" and 130 pounds. So he's a bigger guy and he thinks he can do that. And he might say, oh, I just can't help it. Well, if there was a 7'2" man there who was 375 pounds and 95% of its muscle.
Come on.
Saying, now stop it.
Yeah.
Don't you touch your wife.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he can stop.
Yes, and that's something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can stop himself.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that he couldn't stop himself. He didn't want to.
Right.
Amen. There was nobody there to forbid him. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Well, you're the big guy in the house. I'm talking about your spirit man can rise up and say, no, you're not going to yield to that anymore. You're going to stop doing that. Now, somebody said, I've tried that. I can't do it. No, that's right. You can't do it. But you can yield to the greater one in you. And you can do it.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And besides that, the ability to say yes and no gets in you through through really the Word of God getting in you and prevailing in you.
Amen.
To where you have the Word rise up on the inside of you and says, no, I refuse to allow this because the Word says so.
Right.
I mean, it says I don't have to allow this.
Right.
Hallelujah. In the areas of, what areas of dominion do you and I have? What areas of this refusing and this forbidding can we exercise this kind of authority? We can do it in the realm of the satanic and the demonic. We can do it in the realm of our own flesh and our own bodies. We can do it in the realm of the world. What does that mean with the world? Remember 1 John 5:4. This is the victory. Well, let me back up. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah. Even our faith.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Satan is the God of this world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever way the world is going, I don't have to go that way.
That's right.
I can say, no, not going that way. I'm not going that way in my actions. I'm not going that way in my thinking. I'm not going that way in my, and I'm not being put in that mold.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So we can do it in the area of the world. How do we do it? Through faith. 1 John 5:4. Then the fourth area we can do it in is in the area of our thoughts.
Yes.
Or let's say it this way, our thought life.
Yes.
You understand what I mean by our thought life? I mean, when thoughts come to us, we can say, no, I'm not going to think that thought, and answer it and say no and replace it with the thought of the Word of God. That's called renewing the mind. Thank God. Where I was bound in my teenage years, coming up into adulthood, where I was bound was in my, one of the areas was in my thought life. Thank God for that truth right there. That has saved me months and months and years of heartache and torment and oppression. Aren't you glad that truth has been preached real strong here? Because it just changes your life when you realize I don't have to take the enemy's thoughts. Jesus said, take no thought saying. What shall we eat? In other words, don't take thoughts of worry is what he's talking about. Don't take thought saying. So we have authority in that realm. Now, somebody said, well, what about fear? Fear is a spirit.
Yeah.
So that's covered in the area of the demonic and satanic. What about worry? Well, worry is fear-based, and it comes against your thought life. Amen. Same is true with oppression, depression. I don't know about you, but there's times that these things try to get on all of us. I don't believe you're unique. I believe no temptation is except, no temptation is taking us, but it's common to man.
Yes.
You might think you're the only person that's ever gone through that. No, other people have gone through that. Satan's the same. He's just like Jesus in that sense. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
Not good, but he's the same. Thank God you've got authority over him, and you can say no to him. You can say no to all he brings against your thought life. You can say no to sickness. You can say no to bondage. You can say no to the world. You can say no to wrong spirits. You can say no to the flesh. Somebody said no. That's how you do it. You do it. You say no. Jesus in John 8:32-36, he said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Free from what's trying to bind you. And then he said, because some people said there, they said, well, these are the Jewish rulers. They said, what do you mean be made free? We've never been bound. We're Abraham's seeds. Jesus said, well, even though you're Abraham's seeds, you're a child of the devil.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And he's basically bound you. You know, that's like Americans today. They think we're Americans. We're free.
Well.
And yet there's still something controlling them.
That's right.
Alcohol's controlling them. Fear is controlling them. Anger fits is controlling them. Offense is controlling them. It's running their life.
Yes, sir.
You know, panic attacks, sickness or disease. There's in the heart of every man, woman, boy, girl, all around the world, in every man's heart is a longing to master these things. Why take sickness or disease? Why have we spent literally probably trillions of dollars on hospitals? And I'm not opposed to it. I'm just simply making a point here. Hospitals, medicine, and so forth, everything from physical therapy to the research into the physical body and exercise, all that. Why has man researched all that? Why? Because he's trying to conquer two things, disease and death. Innate within his spirit, he longs to master those two things. And thank God for what they've learned. Thank God for the research. But how many of you notice people still have disease and still are dying? Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Where does that longing come from? He knows he was originally created to be a master, and to rule and reign and not to be lorded over.
Yeah.
It's innate within every human being. Intuitively, he knows sickness and death, they're enemies. They're not my friend. Amen. And he's always trying to master sin. He's always trying to master lack. He's trying to master torment. Because he knows that something is different than the way it used to be. He wasn't created to be dominated like this. Amen. That's why he resists bondage, and he does it vehemently. He's strong about it. He doesn't want to be enslaved. And it's a universal condition all around the world. Although he doesn't want to be and knows intuitively these are not friends, yet universally all around the world, people are bound by the same thing. You find Adam's fallen condition in any society you travel into. You go into China, you go into Australia, you go into Africa, anywhere you go. Universal condition everywhere you go. They're sick, broke, busted, and disgusted, tormented, hating their life, so forth and so on. And they all want to be free. Intuitively, they know they weren't created to be this way. They're fighting poverty. I mean, the government fights poverty, throwing money at it. Not that I'm saying that I agree with that, but I'm saying they're fighting poverty. Everybody's trying to get better off financially and get out of the poverty they were in. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody calls these things friends because they know they were created to master these things. Well, then why do people fight us preaching healing and prosperity? When intuitively they know it's their enemy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, poverty and sickness are their enemies.
Yes, sir.
Jesus came to deliver us from these things. Hallelujah. And he also gave us the authority to forbid that it be in our life. That's what stirs me up more than the poverty or the curse and the things that bind men. I hate things that bind men, don't misunderstand me, but I hate the lies that keeps them in the dark that they can't do anything, that makes them think they can't do anything about it. I hate that just as much, probably more. Because that's really where the victory is. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have things just irritate you when you hear the redemption from sickness and poverty preached, you need to be freed from that which is harassing your mind. Amen. I didn't say you have a demon. I didn't say you need to cast that out. That's not what I said. But that thing's yakety yak yak. Might not be in you, but it can now hear yakety yak yak. Amen. And I know sometimes when I preach certain things, there's things rise up in people. I don't always say anything, but you do hear me get an indignation on me sometimes. I just say things like this. I feel mean on the devil because I know something's coming out of somebody is coming toward me. It's like, okay. God wants us to rule and reign over those things. Amen. We love people. We don't like what binds them. Isn't that right? So, but how many of you have found in your life that without the power of God, you're just going to continually be overcome by these things on our own? And there are things in the flesh, sins, so forth and so on, that on our own, left to ourselves, we're going to fall back into that again. Sure enough, you can count on it. Left on our own. Anger. Offense, amen, depression, getting distracted off course, alcohol, loneliness, strife, hatred, emotions ruling us, something's gonna start dominating us again on our own. Because these things, you know, we've tried to stand against them by our own willpower. I'm not trying to preach this all in discouragement this morning. I'm trying to get us to the place we recognize we can't do it on our own. We've all tried on our own with our own willpower. We said, well, bless God. You know, it's called New Year's resolution sometimes. Oh, I'm going to bless God this year. Praise God. I'm going to crucify that flesh. I'm going to not eat cake. I'm going to lose 30 pounds. Praise God. Amen. And we succeed royally for a whole week. Amen. Hallelujah. Like one guy said, I need to be congratulated. I have completed a 6-month diet in 11 hours and 13 minutes. And then the refrigerator started talking to me, you know. Congratulate me, please. Didn't I do good? I mean, I accomplished that so quick. Praise the Lord. Amen. So in our own power, willpower. See, God doesn't ask us to do things just by willpower. One of the fruit of the Spirit, Pastor Debbie, so the other night, preached on the fruit of the Spirit. One of the things she was preaching on is fruit of the Spirit. So powerful. One of them is self. It's called temperance.
Yes.
Means self-control.
Yes.
Notice it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of your willpower.
Yeah.
Willpower is good, but it's so often insufficient. It comes short. Because that's just efforts of the flesh, efforts of man, efforts of willpower. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying throw that away. But you need something from the inside, from the Spirit of God, to rise up and equip you. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Diets are of the flesh. Temperance is of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we've tried it by willpower, and things just keep whipping us. Well, these things, Satan tries to use those things to frustrate us, to condemn us, and discourage us. And by doing that, by condemning and discouraging us, I mean, he's trying to keep us from our faith working. Because that's really where the real victory really is. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And the way you do Matthew 18, 18 and 19 is by faith. It's by faith. Glory. Are y'all interested in this? It's by faith. So, one of the biggest, you might say, I'm endeavoring, I'm not telling anybody what to do, just between you and God. But if somebody says, I'm endeavoring to lose some weight and I just keep falling. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to jump on you in discouragement and condemnation. And that's really where your real defeat is. Not so much that you yielded again to eating 13 pieces of pie or something, you know. It was good, Pastor. Sure it was. Sure it was. The condemnation is where he really whips us. Why? Because that just pulls the rug out from under your faith. This is the victory. Faith is the victory. So he's got to get to that faith. Or else you just slip out of his head. You become the greasy pig. You know what I'm talking about? You just keep slipping out of his hands. Because faith just it enables you to escape. It's your escape route. It's your way out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith is like kryptonite to the devil. You know what I'm talking about? Just makes him powerless. Praise the Lord. So I'm here to encourage you. Let me read some verses on victory. Can we read some verses on victory? Let's look at, I don't know how many of these you want to turn to. But getting these in you will give you the authority to forbid. 1 John 5:4, we already read it. This is the victory. Whatsoever born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I like these in other translations. To be a child of God is to be victorious over the world. Woo, glory be to God. As we read these verses, I want you to realize and just let it sink in all over again that the Christian life is to be a life of victory. Whatever it is, over the flesh, over sin, over the devil, over fear, over worry, over poverty, over the curse, over sickness, over you name it. Bondage.
All right now.
Anger fits, offense. We're called to rule and reign.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
That's what it says in Romans 5, verse number 17. Talks about they that received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they reign in life. Reign in life. What is somebody who reigns? That means they're dominating. In sin, talking about before we got saved, when we were in sin, the Bible says that one of the characteristics, that's called spiritual death in sin, but one of the characteristics of spiritual death is Satan dominates you. In other words, he's things that, anything he wants to put you in bondage to, he holds you in bondage. That's par for the course for sinners. Par for the course for Christians and faith people, according to these verses we're going to read, is overcoming all those things. In other words, we have the authority to say, no, that's not going to be in my life anymore. I'm not going to live all offended all the time anymore. I'm going to get a hold of my flesh and stop having anger fits. Whatever, you name it. Praise God. Because to be a child of God is to be victorious. I like that. Victorious. 1 John 5, that's Barclay. Wu says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. The Wu says, whatever is born of God is constantly coming off victorious.
Hallelujah.
Put that in your mouth and say that.
Yes.
For that, I'm constantly coming off victorious. That needs to be in your confession.
Yes.
Weymouth says, the victorious principle which has overcome the world is our faith.
Amen.
That's why we put it in our mouth.
Amen.
That's what overcomes. Faith is the victory. That's what it said in the King James. Let's look at another verse, 1 Corinthians 15:57. The reason we're giving you these is so that you can put these in your spiritual potpourri heat lamp and make the devil smell it. You know what I'm talking about? Or put it in your pipe and smoke it. So the devil smells it and he's like,
yeah.
Make him choke on it.
Come on now.
Make him choke on it. Come on.
1 Corinthians 15:57. You don't like these verses, give them back, because I'm going to take them home with me. This is 1 Corinthians 15:57. King James says, but thanks be to God. Raise your hands right now and say, thanks be to God. What are we thanking Him for? Which giveth us, we could say, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Woo, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Wand, W-A-N-D, not W-A-U-N. Wand translation says, but thanks be to God, who through our Lord Jesus Christ has bestowed on us the victory.
That's right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Endowed us with it.
Yeah.
Bestowed it on us.
Hallelujah.
So, okay, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Just get these in your notes make sure these are part of your confession. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Oh, this is, I would say this might be my favorite. Now, thanks be unto God. Let's lift our hands and say, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. Why? Who sometimes, you never can tell what God's going to do. Oh, don't get mad at me. I'm just reading your... Which always, that's my favorite word in that verse, always causes us to triumph all by ourselves and our willpower. No, in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. And there's a lot to that verse, that last part there. In other words, whenever people see us walking in victory over things that used to bind us, That's the glory of God. It's like people can see God's goodness. That's what he's talking about. Thanks be unto God. Cressman says, Christ leads us to victory every time. How many times can you expect to be defeated? Yeah, but if you really hurt your back, you know, that doesn't heal on its own. You know, it's just... Always.
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 Always. Look at the Barclay. Thanks be to God, for He always gives us a place as sharers in the victory procession of Christ. You remember He spoiled principalities and powers? And then He paraded them openly, the Bible said. And we were His, when Jesus paraded that, those forces of darkness before three worlds, heaven, earth, and hell, we were the spoils. Jesus got us back. And He was holding us in the devil's face saying, I won. Look, I won. I won. Paraded us, or gives us a place as sharers in the victory procession of Christ. New Life says He leads us and makes us win in everything. How often are you going to lose? The only way we lose is if we don't believe this and we give up. Now, I'm talking about myself. You got to apply it to yourself. The only way I'm going to live with pain is if I don't stand for healing of pain. Excuse me. Amen. Just apply it to wherever you are right now and say, okay, I'm not going to have this anymore. I see in the Word it doesn't belong to me. He always causes me to triumph. Praise the Lord. Moffat says, wherever I go, thank God He makes my life a constant pageant of triumph in Christ. Yeah, but I'm in Nigeria, wherever you are. Praise God. Wherever I go, He makes my life a constant. I like this word constant. It keeps coming up. Always constant. In everything. In every place. So that's Moffat. Laubach says, Laubach, thank God who is giving us victory after victory.
Amen.
How many of you know we go from victory to victory? We don't go from faith to, from victory to defeat. Or faith to unbelief. We go from victory to victory. Where are you going? To my next victory. That's where I'm going. From victory to victory. New Berkeley, who invariably, that means He never changes, leads us on triumphantly in Christ.
Amen.
I don't know. I know some of the things some of you have been through, different things that opposed your life. And if you hadn't have stood, where would you be today?
Wow.
It's worth it. Somebody takes, man, this takes discipline. It takes spiritual grit. Yeah, but what's the alternative? It's worth it.
It is.
He leads us as in triumph. Coney Bear says, who leads me on from place to place in the train of His triumph to celebrate His victory over the enemies of Christ.
Amen.
20th century New Testament, who through our union with the Christ leads us in one continual triumph.
Amen.
We ought to stand for what belongs to us. Continual triumph.
Yes.
Not you win some, you lose some.
No.
Maybe with other people who you don't have authority in their life.
Right.
You know, that's where people get defeated sometimes. They're trying to use their faith with somebody else.
Yeah.
But in your own life, you can stand every time for victory.
Yes.
How many of you know, if you've ever done this before, you know sometimes He'll say, okay, if you want to walk in victory here, you're going to have to make this adjustment.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
Woo, there's my victory.
Yeah.
I've done that, but at least I got my victory.
Hey,
that's right.
Amen. It's worth it.
Okay, now Romans 8:37, it says, Romans 8:37. We'll look at verse 37 and 38. Hallelujah. This is just building your faith. Whatever you're going through right now, just apply it to what you're going through. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That sounds like victory, doesn't it? How do you do that? You're going to have to forbid certain things. Say, no, I'm a master. I reign over this. Amen. We're more than conquerors. Reichert, R-I-C-H-E-R-T. Reichert translation says, listen, in all things, Jesus, our great leader, has established us as invincible champions through His amazing provision for us. Invincible.
Invincible. Glory to God.
Not in ourselves. See, when you've got the Word of God in you and the Word of God can't fail, that's what makes you invincible.
Yes.
You got faith in that. In ourselves, we're not invincible.
Right.
We've proven that.
Right.
We give up and say, Uncle, I'm like, oh, yeah. But when the Word gets in you, it makes you invincible.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Williams translation. This is Romans 8:37. And yet in all these things, see, the context was there, all these things that have come against us. Right. See, faith doesn't mean nothing comes against you.
That's right.
Well, if I had faith, I wouldn't be going through this.
No,
that's not proof somebody has faith.
No, it doesn't.
No. What proves somebody has faith is, regardless of what comes against them, whenever the dust all clears, there they are with the victory.
Yes. Yes.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I just refuse to have defeat. I refuse to have pain. I refuse to not be able to get on an airplane and sit down for 4 hours. Because I hurt too much. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse to stay home from camp meeting because I can't sit in a chair for hours a day. Not happening. You say, well, that's all right, Pastor. Just calm down. That's the way you got to get about it. If the cat is on the table eating the chicken, do you say, kitty, can we make an agreement? I'll be nice to you if you be nice to me and get off the table. No, no. You are in charge in that house, and you demand that cat get down. Amen. Hallelujah. Besides that, it just rises up big on the inside of you and makes you, it's, whoo, glory be to God. Just Williams translation, I'll say it again. Yet in all these things, we keep on gloriously conquering. Oh, it is glorious, isn't it? Through him who loved us. The doctor says, that's done. You're done. Only 3 or 6 more months. You can be like David and say, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you and I will live forever down here. But him trying to take us out before we're done. If Jesus doesn't come back, come Lord Jesus, right? If he doesn't come back and I get of age and I'm done down here, I'm going to say, bye-bye, world, I'm out of here. But until that time, he's not going to knock me out or sit me down or shut me up. I'm going to stay on course. I'm going to finish my race. Hallelujah. And I can refuse anything that tries to hinder that. That's what he's talking about. That's the, what was that, the Williams? Jordan. We come out on top every time through him who sets his heart on us. Or excuse me, set his heart on us. That's his love for us. He set his heart on us, loving us. And we come out on top every time. Amen. I like that. He might try to keep you down. But remember that beach ball?
Yeah.
You put that beach ball in the water. You know, it's got full of air. You push it down.
Yeah.
That thing's coming back up.
Yeah.
It's not going to stay down there forever. That's like us. That's what the faith of God does on the inside of us. The devil says, I'm going to push you under. I'm going to glug, glug, glug. And you go, I'm coming up. Glug, glug, glug. Praise God. The way translation, W-A-Y. And this is Romans 8:37. Yet amidst all this, that's, I like, he keeps talking about in the middle of all this stuff. We are the victors. How many of you know we're not victors because these things aren't around anymore? We're victors right in the middle of them. All of them. Way translation. In the midst of all this, we are the victors. Ah, that's what he said. Ah, more than victors through the might of him who hath loved us. Look at your neighbor and said, I'm more than a victor. Or say this, say, I'm a victor.
I'm a victor.
Ah,
more than a victor.
More than a victor.
I was listening to Brother Joel Siegel preach on, you know, some of you have watched him preaching on this last Miracle Crusade. And he said Smith Wigglesworth would get the anointing on him and he'd go, huh.
Yeah.
So say it that way. Look at your neighbor and say, I am a victor.
I am a victor.
More than a victor.
More than a victor.
You might think we're just having fun. I'm getting you in the spirit of it. Getting you in the spirit of it. You got to have a bit of a cockiness about it. You know what I'm talking about? Don't mess with me kind of thing. Because this word will get on the inside of you. It'll make you lean sideways in the car, you know. It changes your demeanor, changes the way you walk, the look on your face. So that's the way translation. The Living Bible, Romans 8:37. But despite all this, somebody said, you know what's going on in my life? Here's your verse. Despite all that, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Say overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
That means the devil can't handle how much victory is coming his way. Overwhelming. I like that. The Woo says, in all these things, all of them. He repeats it. All of them. The second time. Say to your neighbor, all of them. We're coming off constantly with more than the victory through the one who loved us. More than victory. We don't just win the victory. We got to tell everybody about it, you know.
Yeah.
More than victory. I mean, we win the victory, and then we go tell somebody else how to have victory. Take that, Mr. Devil. Was that Woost? Which one was that? Okay, Phillips. I'm liking these. This is called meditation. This is how you meditate. Phillips, we win an overwhelming victory. Good News Bible, we have complete victory. New American Standard Bible, we overwhelmingly conquer. Ooh, I like that. That's the way we ought to fight wars. Not flick little bombs at them or something. Say, okay, we give you 24 hours to stop.
Come on.
Or your palace will be annihilated.
Yeah.
That's the way we win. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives to the death. Barclay, the blood of the Lamb and their fearless declaration of their faith have won for them the victory over him. So we talked about how? Right there. The blood of the Lamb and our fearless declaration of our faith. Fearless declaration. Not. No. Faith. Faith has a grunt to it.
Yes, it does.
I don't know if you know what that means. It's something comes up out of the inside of you. It says, no, I'm not having this in my life. Or yes, this is the way it's going to be. You see the Word of God that says this is what is available. Yes, that's the way it's going to be. So then, the 38th verse, Romans 8:38, King James, first of all. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation, creature means creation, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amplified says, nor things impending or threatening. Anybody got any impending, threatening things out there? Oh my, I know what's coming this week. Oh my goodness. My mother-in-law says she's moving in forever or whatever. No, how many of you know things can be, you know, it looks like, oh my goodness, this is going to turn out bad. It's a threatening, it's an impending kind of thing. The Amplified says impending or threatening. Message says, I don't get into the Message a whole lot because it's not an actual translation, but this is amazing. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, things you haven't even thought of, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way the Father, our Master, the way Jesus, our Master, has embraced us.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
That makes you invincible. That makes you more than a conqueror.
Yes.
Wu says, I have come through a process of persuasion to the settled conclusion. That's where you and I, got to go through that process to settle this. Everything the enemy throws at me, I'm going to stop it. I will not permit it.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father.
If you're not there, continue through that process, Wu says, of persuasion till you get to the settled conclusion.
That's so good.
I'm not going to yield to rebellion. I'm not going to yield to depression, oppression. I chose long time ago. No more oppressed days for Pastor Jay. No more sad days. Well, you know, some days are joyful, some days are sad. Well, that's a choice. It's a choice. I know some days are the circumstances are better than others. We understand that. Some days they're terrible. But in all these things, it's a choice. We can decide. All right. So, did you get anything out of those verses?
Yes.
Really, generally speaking, you meditate on these verses. And what he's saying is the overcoming life is really the life God's prepared for his children.
Right.
It's just the lifestyle of always prevailing. No, it doesn't mean, faith doesn't mean things won't come against you or I. It might mean more things come against you and I. Oh, I don't want to be in faith then. Well, then be in defeat. In faith, no, regardless of what comes against you, you can always triumph. That's the beauty of the Christian life. Let's step up to the potential we have rather than sit back and say, you know, just look at the world and go along with them. Well, you win some, you lose some. You never can tell what God's going to do. Well, apparently that's not the way he thinks because all these verses. Hallelujah. If you read the book of Revelation there, the first couple of chapters where Jesus addresses those seven churches, to every one of them, he said, blessed is he that overcometh. There's something we all have to overcome.
Yes, sir. So
true. And there's a blessing in that overcoming. I said there's a blessing in that overcoming. Not only in the world to come, but in the world in this life. Like, for example, in the world to come, I remember one time years ago, way back in Bible school days, actually, it might have been right after Bible school. I was in prayer one day, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "There, when you get to heaven, there will be a reward. You will get a reward for overcoming the traditions of denominationalism that you came out of. Because you doing that will bring light to many others, and I will reward you for doing it." If you read the Bible carefully, there's rewards for overcoming. Praise the Lord. But how many of you know there's rewards in this life?
Yes.
Right down here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. One of the rewards is by overcoming and mastering whatever. You name it. Well, you know, it's different for everybody. It could be offense. It could be a number of things. Whatever. You mastering those things and becoming a shining light, an example of the victory of Christ, it enables you to be a light to other people. And they might have known you before, and they're like, wow. And you don't have to say a word other than, you know, explain what happened. And you're a light and a testimony to them. And they see that can be a greater influence on them and have more effect on bringing them into the things of God than maybe three sermons or, you know, who knows how many of you know people just see fruit. And they get blessed and they realize what God can do in their life. You don't have to be a preacher to testify. Just tell people your testimony. Just tell them what God did for you. And you don't have to speak in King James Elizabethan English. Just somebody that used to know you said, man, you're different. I said, man, I was all out. You just say something simple like, yeah, you knew me. I was all messed up. But I got right with God and started learning what he said in his word about me and finding out who he is and my father. And man, he just these things started dropping off of me and I started trusting him and he set me free.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Good to see you, by the way. Amen. How many of you know they'll sit there and they'll think about that? Because they know what's going on in their life. They know what's hindering and binding them. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think the Christian, the body of Christ ought to provoke the world to jealousy. Praise be to God. All right, let's talk a little bit about this how. Go to Ephesians 6:10. We're running out of time. Ephesians 6:10. How? Like I said, these things, these are exciting to preach about, and we can see that it's available, but how do we get a hold of this grease pig? Amen. How many of you know without some understanding from the Word of how to do this, we won't really be successful, although we're excited about having victory, because it's the Word that gives us the ability to do this. Look at Ephesians 6, and we could spend a lot more time than we have here left on this, but let's just at least get it started. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So before we go any further, because he gets ready to talk about standing and really all this passage says, put on the armor of God that you might be able to stand. And having done all to stand, stand. Yes. You know what standing is? Yes. It's forbidding.
Yes.
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 That's what it is.
Yes.
Satan says, I'm pushing you into this pit of depression or this pit of offense or this pit of sickness or whatever.
Right.
And when you stand, you're forbidding. You're saying, no, I will not
That's
go there.
Right.
So when but the first thing he says, in order to be able to do this, he said, we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Amen.
Well, there's two things that refers to, the Lord and the power of His might. The power of His might's easy. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the greater one. That's the greater. Greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. He's in us, but we have to learn to draw on His strength. That's what the Amplified says, draw your strength from the Lord. It's there, but we have to learn to draw on it. And then the power of His might, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. In the Lord is in what He said.
Yeah.
Be strong in what He said.
Yeah.
You know, I've used this illustration. Some guy, this actually happened years ago. Some guy, they were holding down one of those, I call them dirigibles. What do you call those hot air balloon? Wasn't a hot air balloon, that blimp, yeah. They used to have those things a lot more than they do now. They have them some, but... but anyway, there were a bunch of men were holding one down one time, and a big gust of wind came along and picked that thing up, and they were all trying to hold it down and couldn't. A lot of guys, you know, rope burning everything, they had to let go. But one guy found, he's holding on, but it's picking him up off the ground because many guys had fallen off. And so he's up, and he's looking, he's like too far to jump or let go, you know. So he's holding on to that rope, and you know, you can only do that for so long. Your hands will get, your strength will give out. So he said... because he started going up and up and up, and people were, ladies were screaming, you know, oh my goodness, he's going to fall and become a greasy spot, you know. I'm not trying to make fun of death, but I'm just saying, you know, this is going to be terrible. So there, women are crying and so forth, and he just kept hanging. He got up there high enough you couldn't really see him. I mean, you could see him, but you couldn't really see what he had done to hold on. What he had done is he looked down and he saw there was rope below him, so he just took that rope and wrapped it around his waist.
Yeah.
Tied it,
yep.
Sat down,
there you go.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the view.
Yeah.
Haven't seen this view before. Look over there. There's Uncle Joe's farm right there.
Yeah.
And so he just holding on. Eventually, however they did it, they eventually got the thing down somehow. But and so when he got down, they were excited that he made it. But they asked, how did he, so many people didn't know because they couldn't see, but how did you, big crowd, how did you hold on? He said, well, I just tied that rope. That's what he's saying. Be strong in the Lord.
Yes.
Be strong in the Word of God. Just wrap yourself in the promises of God.
Yes.
And then just swing free. Oh, I'm trying to be strong. That's not how you go. Don't be strong in the power of your might. Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might.
Yes.
Praise God. What's holding you up? Not me. It's the Word.
Yes.
It's the Word holding me up. It's the Word keeping me from giving in and saying, okay, this is going to be the new normal, like I said. Are we getting it? Are we understanding? So be strong. Then they said down in verse number, let's go to verse number 17. In the Ephesians 6:17, he said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because if we read verse 12 you know, and 13 and so forth, and 14. Keeps talking about standing. And here's how you do it. By taking this armor, we don't have time to go into all of them, but one of them is taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yes.
Why does the Bible call the Word the sword of the Spirit? We're closing. Why does the Bible call the Word the sword of the Spirit? Well, the word Spirit and the word anointing are used interchangeably in the New Testament.
Yes,
remember, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me."
Yes.
And we could show you many verses that the word Spirit and anointing. So when it says here, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, you could read it this way. You could say the Word is anointed. The Word is anointed. So we could say the sword of the anointing, which is the Word of God. Now, you know what it says in the Old Testament, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Right.
The yoke is anything that's trying to bind you.
Yes.
You can be yoked with sickness. You can be yoked with offense.
Right.
Yeah.
Or burdened with, or tied up with fear.
Right.
We're not focusing on one today.
Right.
We're focusing on just the general principle of being free from any kind of bondage.
Yeah.
So whatever He's trying to tie you up with, whatever He's trying to yoke you up with, there's something to, God has something to destroy that. It's called the anointing.
Come on.
Okay, well, where can I find that? Well, we know God anoints men and women. We know that. But see, you don't need another man.
No, you don't.
The Word is anointed.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
The Word is anointed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Word is anointed. And you can take that Word, feed it into your spirit, speak it out your mouth, and it becomes a sword, a weapon against the bondage that He's trying to put you in. He's trying to hold you in offense. You just start using, get the Word of God in you about offense or against offense, how the Word says to be free from offense. Do you know any verses along those lines? Well, no, I don't. Okay, get some. Find out whether we got series. That's what all these teaching series are all about. Get that Word in you in that area so that you can say, okay, offense. It tries to get a hold of you again. You start taking that Word to it. And the anointing in that Word will defeat that thing. You can't do it yourself. Can you see what we're talking about? So what's this verse telling us to do? Go after any yoke that binds you with the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of the anointing. Get the anointing that breaks that yoke working for you by speaking. Where's the sword of the Spirit go? It goes in your mouth. You look at Jesus a couple times in the book of Revelation. He's riding a white horse, and the sword, He had a sword in His mouth. That's where you wield it. It's the Word of God in your mouth that you speak under the anointing. Praise be to God. And that's how you destroy these yokes. Remember in Luke 4 when Jesus was, Satan was trying to put Jesus in bondage. That's really what he was doing, trying to put Jesus in bondage. He was, remember, if you be the Son of God, he was tempting him with yielding to suggestions that Satan brought. If you be the Son of God, do this. Satan was tempting him, Luke 4. Remember that in the wilderness? And he was tempting him, why? Because he was trying to put him in bondage. You got to see what he was really trying to do. Just like Adam, who was sinless, the first, you know, Adam back in Genesis, he was sinless and free from Satan. But by getting him to yield to Satan, he put him in bondage. And now he's ruling, Satan's ruling over Satan. He's trying to do the same thing with Jesus. That's exactly what's happening in Luke 4.
Yeah.
If you be the Son of God, do this.
Right.
If Jesus would have done that, he'd have become Adam all over again. Bible called him the second Adam. But he would have been the fallen second Adam. Thank God he didn't do it. But he tries that same stuff on us. Does Jesus give us any keys in Luke 4 of how to keep from going into bondage? Oh, yeah. He said, he kept saying, it is written. How did he deal with that, that where Satan was trying to put him in bondage? He took that sword of the Spirit and that anointing and defeated that thing. Glory! Stand with me to your feet. You can do it. You've got that sword in your hand, and you can put it in your mouth just as much as Jesus. How many of you have ever encountered Satan trying to put you in bondage? All the rest of us are dishonest. Thank God you can stand up and say no. You can forbid it. Because whatever you forbid, notice God will allow you to be put into bondage if you allow it. I don't know why God allowed that. Because we allowed it. Maybe ignorantly. We're not trying to hit people with that. But yet, right on the other hand, we have to stick with the truth of God's word. I've been there before. I'm like, I'm not sure exactly where I'm missing it here, but I know it's not on God's side.
Yes, that's right.
I'm not going to accuse God of, you know, not being faithful.
Yes, that's right.
No, somewhere, maybe it's ignorance. Maybe it's just I need some more insight into something I'm not hearing or understanding correctly. I don't accuse people who are going through things and just it persists because I've been there. But how many of you know it's one thing to be going through things, it's another thing just to give up and say, I'm going to stay here the rest of my life. No, that's where I get my spiritual dander up. Because I love people. And I don't want them to give in to that. Amen.